Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Infratech. Bring indoor comfort to outdoor living with Infratech comfort heaters. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey guys.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcasts Express. Jason, I have a early Christmas present that came in the mail, and it is jury duty.
Oh, no.
I'm actually on call on Christmas Eve.
What?
Yeah. So I have to check in on Christmas Eve at like 5 o'clock. So that'll be fun. But today we're going to talk about... So we recently put in our... put out our episode on 3D printing construction.
Yep, super cool.
And there's some news in that I want to talk about today. But in other news, we have a new sponsor.
Nice.
Infratech. So in the last few years, premium outdoor spaces have become a must-have architectural feature, and Infratech outdoor electric heating systems have become the brand of choice among leading architects. Infratech heaters provide energy-efficient, ambient warmth that allows homeowners to live outdoors during their cooler months. Clients love them because they can enjoy 100 more nights a year outside. Architects love them because of their unparalleled versatility, from heater capacity and colors to mounting options that can either seamlessly disappear or accentuate a space with beautiful decorative coverings. They're also the only comfort heat company to offer smart home integration and hands-free voice-activated control. For over 60 years, Infratech has made their products in the USA at competitive prices. They offer incredible design and live technical support at every stage of a job. Infratech is specified at the world's most prestigious properties. Learn why and sign up for a free consultation at infratech-usa.com/podcasts. I don't know if I ever told you, but one of my first projects as I came out on my own was one that had a outdoor covered patio element.
Okay.
And the conversation never came up about outdoor heating.
Okay.
And they ended up doing it after the fact during construction. So it's like kind of an afterthought. And I've since had a few projects where we've done the outdoor heating and it was planned in.
Yep.
And I was checking out Infratech, and they actually have some really nice
linear stuff.
Flush mounted, and their design is really sleek. Yeah. So I'm going to look at them because I've been putting it in, and some of the ones that I've spec'd have been kind of bulky and awkward.
They are. They totally are. Yeah. It can just disappear. It doesn't look added on, right? So it's almost like it can fit into the soffits and stuff, like in looking at some of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, they are like, everybody remembers those big commercial units that hang down and they look like they're big, blocky, like whatever.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice. It almost like, some of them almost look like vents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a long, like HVAC type vent, you know what I mean? So you can make it kind of just disappear, which would be awesome.
Yeah. So check out Infratech. It's infratech-usa.com/podcasts, and you can find out more, and we'll have a link in our show notes to check them out as well. Now back to today's topic. As I mentioned, we just recently put out our episode on 3D printing construction, and I don't think you've heard about this. It's fairly recent news in the 3D printing construction world.
Okay.
Lennar has a project underway, 100 homes in Austin, all 3D printed. And the designer, the architect on the job is Bjerk Engels, big. So it's a pretty cool project in Austin. It'll be interesting to see how this is received once people start to buy and move into this, because it's very different from normal communities in the way that this looks. The design, it's all metal roofing, it looks like, that's sitting on these 3D printed homes. And it has that sort of sausage look that we talked about in our episode.
Well, Lennar's got an article on their website about it too.
Oh, okay. Interestingly, and I didn't know this, but they invested in this particular company, which is Icon.
$207 million.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think Lennar did the $207 million. I think that's the total financing.
Round. Yeah, you're right. That was total financing round. Yep.
But Lennar did invest in this company, and now they're proceeding with this 100 homes, which is a pretty big community, all 3D printed. And for those that may not know, we mentioned it in an episode long time ago that Lennar is the third largest builder, I think, now in the nation after they bought out Cal Atlantic.
So they're either one or two, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, something like that. They're in the top three.
So I think what it is, what they go, I think when you have Horton, so it's like Horton and then Express by Horton. So which is two separate deals, but if you combine Horton and Express, they're bigger than Lennar. Lennar's the biggest, something like that. So it depends on who you're talking to and how they want to like slice it, right?
Got it. Yeah.
But it's something like that. But those are the two biggest. I know that.
But as whatever it is, the top three home builders in the country, in the U.S., taking on this pretty huge project that's all 3D printed, that says something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that you and I have been talking about for a long time. And I've been so worried about is just, you know, the ability to continue to supply the tradesmen. You know what I mean? For the industry, like something had to change.
Yeah.
So if we don't do that, you know, I don't know how. And I was just with a bunch of trades today, like, and they're struggling with labor in a lot of different ways. So it's like, if we don't figure something out, like, you're not going to get it done, you know? Mm-hmm. You need the big guys to do stuff like this because they have the money and the wherewithal, right? Mm-hmm. And it's certainly going to draw attention. So they kind of have to be at the tip of the spear on these things, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of shocked that they are being the tip of the spear in some sense.
You know, it's funny.
Are you?
No. Here's why. I think the deal is when you're there, when you're that size and you have Wall Street, you need to answer to, I think they constantly want to see you investing and reinvesting in the future, quote unquote. Right. To me, you know, when everybody knows there's supply chain issues, there's shortages in labor, blah, 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 blah. I think my guess is they want to see that you're looking at that and saying, how do we make sure we're going to be able to return investment to our investors year after year after year after year? And it's like, hey, we've got investment in this, we're going to make money on it, but we're going to learn. And we have the ability to do that. And then there's tax breaks for them on doing R&D. Don't forget. Right. Mm. So you do all those kind of things. And I'm sure they're way smarter on how to classify that stuff and get their money out than I would be. So I know there's got to be some advantages to do that. Plus, you know, to the same thing that we're talking about, it doesn't matter what division they're talking to. The two things that they're mentioning right now is labor and materials.
Yeah.
And the material is one thing because it's a supply chain issue, but the labor has been an issue forever. So it doesn't surprise me that they'd be looking at that. To me, it's the same thing as where you have some of these bigger guys that have been going to the manufactured wall systems that are factory built and trucked out just like trusses, right?
Yeah.
So it's just another evolutionary step of that, I think. You know, it's like, okay, we can do this and this, you know.
In my experience, the ones that are the public builders have always been gun shy to do anything, and they typically have cut back and, you know, tried to cut costs wherever they could and been very conservative. It seems like, to your point, maybe the profit margin has squeezed so much that they're forced to step outside of the box a little bit.
I mean, the answer is probably D, all of the above. you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think we know there's a problem, period. However you want to look at it from the fact, I mean, and really, why are those margins eroding? Well, because if you have less and less labor, you got to pay more for it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to look at it, like, how do you hedge against some of these things? And I would say that would be one way to do it. So I think, you know, again, you know, they've made record profits for a while. You got to reinvest. There's tax breaks to do that and all these other kind of things, plus the vision for the future. And it makes you look good from a lot of different standpoints. So to me, I think it's a brilliant idea. And that's why these big guys are the ones that have to take those steps. Mm-hmm. Because the little guys can't afford to do it. I mean, they don't want to put everything they have, you know, that they've made into an idea and then, you know, not pan out. They've got a little bit more monopoly money, I think, right?
Yeah. From a design aspect, now looking at this, 100 of these homes all next to each other, what are your thoughts?
Dude, this is right back to the days of like the when they were just stamping out like tract homes, right? Like quote unquote tract homes way back when.
Yeah.
You know, it was built for the military guys and those families and everything. And it was just, you know, just cookie cutter boxes, right? Uh-huh. And in I don't know if you ever saw what RSI built. Did you ever see that? They were the first ones that really kind of tried to do like factory homes.
I know of RSI. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of their homes, like just a plan of a house.
Yeah.
And it was a
box.
Not ideal.
I mean, it was a box and it was like, and the stairs were centered just for, you know what I mean? Like it was a box.
Yeah.
And I think there's a place for that. I really, really do. Like from a housing demand standpoint, but their biggest issue was getting the cities to sign off on it. Right. Cause you know what it's like as an architect dealing with the cities, like everybody wants theirs to look so beautiful and adds all these foam treatments and this and that and whatever, which just drives the cost of things insane, you know? So I think when you come out with something new, like they're doing with this, they might get a little bit of, leeway just because they're trying something new. And the idea is like, look, this is going to be a solution to solve whatever. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it takes off too, because I mean, I even look at the, you know, concrete wall and I'm like, man, how do you teach people how to hang a picture? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I would guess that they have a basically furring of a standard wood on the inside.
I would think so.
I would guess.
But you don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then if you even think about that, like if you have standard furring on a concrete wall, like you still have to set those. Like that's a lot of labor to do that, to put, you know, drywall on there and all that kind of stuff. But so you kind of look at it, it's like, well, does that kind of somewhat defeat the purpose too? You're mini framing the rest of the house. You know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, even if you're putting one by on there, like you're almost, you know, in the time it would take for you to set a wall, you're going to have to concrete drill these things. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting idea.
Looking at it at this scale of 100 homes all next to each other, it's very dystopian.
Yeah.
They didn't really soften them up at all. They just accentuated the concrete. It's all exposed on the exterior and they have these big metal hats on them, so it's a little, I don't know, looking at them together, it's not appealing, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere. You know what I mean? And so maybe the place they're doing it, it's going to be super affordable, so people will just be lining up to get it. Maybe it's the novelty of the houses. You know, I don't disagree with you, right? It's going to be overly simplistic in order to make it work, which means you have less and less character. You know what I mean? But we got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're probably doing it in an entry level scenario too, right? So it's a small footprint and that type of stuff.
They're pretty deep. Looking at the homes, they, I don't know, they probably look about, what would you say? Maybe 20, 30, 40. They're probably at least 60 feet deep, I would guess.
That's a deep house.
So it looks like there's a variation of home sizes. There's some small ones and then these really deep, long ones all over the place.
Yeah. Okay.
But like you said, I got to start somewhere. I just wish they would have put a little more attention into variation.
Yeah.
So that it's not all concrete and maybe accentuate some parts.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I was saying, this kind of gets back to like the military tract housing idea way back when. you know? And I think, you know, one of the things I've learned for a long time is if you've got complicated things to deal with, you try to simplify everything, you know?
Yeah.
And they've got some complicated issues they're going to have to deal with, and it's a complicated process that they're going to have to work with. So the idea of simplification to me isn't that bad. You got to learn to, you know, like what was the deal in Ocean's 11 or whatever. You got to learn to run before you can crawl or whatever. And they're like, oh, no, other way around. You really don't want to start running before you've even learned to crawl. And I think in a new pace like this, with this many homes and that size of a scope, you know, you're going to try and even if you listen to what the gentleman said last time, like you want to learn the process because you get faster and faster as you go, right? Well, you don't want to do five different plans. Because by the time you do three of each one, you're already 15 deep. You know what I mean? Like 15% of your project's already over. That can be all your money, you know?
Yeah.
All the profit built in. So I get it. And that's what I'm saying. It's probably more of an affordable community would be my guess to where, you know, and I'm sure maybe there's something that Texas is doing with them too. You know what I mean? To try and bring some kind of deal into it if they're going to, you know, pump the tires on this project so much. So. Plus it allows them simple truss lines and roof line, you know what I mean? Is what it all looks like.
I wonder if they went to this size of a community, 100, because of the price point. My initial thought would have been to do a smaller community of like, I don't know, 20 homes or whatever, just to try it out.
Yeah.
But 100 is massive.
But in Texas though, like that, they don't, you know what I mean? Like you got to think about where we are. You know, we look at it and go, man, like a kid-sized community out of here is like 50 homes, right? Just because you're so landlocked. But out in places like this in Florida, like they got a couple hundred home communities. You know what I mean? Because the land is so big and you still have huge master plans. So I think that's probably just kind of like, meh, run-of-the-mill size for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this...
I'd love to see it. I'd love to actually
pans
see
out. It. There's one near us in Palm Springs that's under construction right now. It doesn't look anything like this.
Yeah, it's probably more of a custom deal.
Well, I think the choice to go with a metal roof over this almost repetitive floor plan with the fully concrete base accented is very harsh. But the one that's in Palm Springs I didn't get this feeling when I saw that one.
Okay.
I forget the name of that. It's in Rancho Mirage, okay. I think.
Sure. Pretty affluent area.
Yeah. So it's very different. I don't think they would have let this fly there. Ew.
Yeah. Agreed.
So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe we'll check in on this every once in a while to see how this is going.
But I mean, like, look, we need it to be successful. You know, like that's, I mean, we need something to change. I mean, again, like I said, I was with multiple trades today and all they do is complain about trade wars between each other. And granted, everything's at a high supply demand right now, which strains that out. But we all talk about an aging workforce. It's not drawing in any more people. You know what I mean? So we need solutions to that for sure.
Yeah. I just hope the one thing that I do hope is that they quickly find an alternative material to concrete. Or reduce the amount of concrete somehow, because concrete is not ideal for sustainability, but the process and the method makes a lot of sense. Mm. So hopefully that gets fleshed out, you know, sooner rather than later too.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a step forward, I think.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Thanks for sitting down with me today, Jason. Thank you to the listeners for listening. We'll have this in the show notes, a link to this in the show notes, and we'll talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Infratech Outdoor Comfort Heating for their support of this episode of Spaces Podcast. Visit infratech-usa.com/podcast to sign up for a free consultation and learn why Infratech is the choice for bringing indoor comfort to outdoor living. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways. For free, You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.